This is Taking Action Today with Michael Alder, episode 15. I'm about to start a side hustle. What's up, everybody? Today, I got Nick Loper from Side Hustle Nation on. This dude's been involved with so much stuff and has an amazing community surrounding him. He's got a podcast that is a must listen. Check it out. And we're just going to get right into this. Nick, welcome to the show.
Thanks for having me, man.
Thank you. Now, we have a mutual friend, Travis Scott, who actually introduced me to Side Hustle Nation about 3 months ago, and I've been hooked ever since. Can you take us back a little bit on how your journey came to start this?
Well, Travis has been a great friend of the site of the end of the podcast. He wrote a guest post for me after his first, like his first couple months doing the Amazon FBA thing. And at that point he was like, hey, I'm making $500 a month. And I'm sure he's like five times that much now, but it's like really, really cool side hustle. And that ended up being one of the most popular posts of the year. But the reason like the side hustle site started was because that was my background in entrepreneurship, is, you know, nights and weekends hustling, trying to make something happen and escape the corporate grind and get out and do my own thing. So that was the impetus to start the blog and the podcast in 2013, and it's been growing since then.
That's awesome. So what were you were actually in the corporate world. What were you hustling on the side to make ends meet there?
My first side hustle was in the affiliate marketing world. It was a comparison shoe shopping website. So it was like a price grabber or a next tag, except specifically for footwear. And my theory behind that was I could generate a higher click-through rate for people looking for shoes because it says shoes in the domain. So it's like appears to be more relevant. I could, you know, deliver more accurate results by focusing on one vertical instead of like having to be everything to everyone. And I can negotiate some exclusive offers, some better deals with some of the retailers. And all of that proved to be true for a period of 8 or 9 years. I ran that thing and finally kind of outlived its usefulness, outlived its margins in the summer of 2014 and had to shut it down. But I know more about shoes and the shoe business than any guy probably should.
That's awesome. That's a heck of a run too. How did you get paid as an affiliate?
So we get paid like a finder's fee for anybody who bought through the site. So I would send traffic to Zappos, send traffic to, you know, 30, 40 other shoe stores. And when somebody completed a purchase, it was all on a performance basis. So if nobody bought anything, I didn't get paid. But that's how the site was monetized.
Okay, so you were an affiliate for several people through that site then.
Right. So just kind of aggregate the catalogs and say, hey, for each specific model of shoe, what's your best price option?
Nice. Now, can you share an experience with us? I know you recently did a TED Talk. Can you get into that a little bit?
I've never been more nervous in my life.
Nice. I believe it. That's awesome, though, that you did that.
It definitely was one of those bucket list items. And so there was a local TEDx event in our hometown. Actually, it was like, you know, less than a mile away, really close to our place here. And I volunteered at the event last year. And so that was kind of my in, or I don't even know if that counted for anything. Although, you know, two people said, oh, it's so cool that you volunteered and now you're on the stage. but that was my like proactive pitch after, you know, this event was in June of last year. So around like, you know, March, April of this year, of 2014, I was like, you know, looking on the website, didn't look like they had a date picked for the 2014 event. They kind of, there was a little button that said, you know, we're seeking speakers or something. So, you know, I submit my pitch. I want to talk about the side hustle economy. And last year, the theme was like education or something. So I can talk about how our schools suck at teaching entrepreneurship and why we need that for our future. And little did I didn't really understand that the theme changes every year, but they were lucky, or they were grateful enough to kind of, you know, let me revise that pitch. Oh, the theme this year is going to be creativity. What have you got on that topic? And so we kind of went back and forth and nailed down a topic on millennial entrepreneurship and creativity. And it was a ton of fun. I found out after the fact that all the other speakers were like kind of in the personal networks or friends of friends of the organizers. And so if you're trying to get on a TEDx talk, like it pays to be proactive and it pays to network with, you know, whoever the local organizers are, because that's who they're going to turn to fill up these spots.
It's all about networking with them then, huh?
It really is. And I didn't, I think I probably was the exception in being proactive. But hey, you know, if you don't ask, the answer is always no.
Well, can you share this with us then? Because public speaking is a fear for most people. And, you know, I struggle with it myself. What could you do or what did you do to prepare for this? And you went up there and just tackled it.
So I have never really had that fear of public speaking. Like in middle school, I remember being the kid who would, like, you know, volunteer to go first, you know, for presentation, just to get it out of the way and be done with it. And also, here's a little trick. If anyone is still in school, you know, the teacher is generally a little more lenient if you go first, because by the end of the time, they expect you to have, you know, prepared something a little bit better. But I never really had that fear until this thing, because I hadn't done any speaking in years, like since high school graduation, had not been up on the stage. And they've got the TEDx lettering. And I'm kind of a TED nerd. Like, I love watching TED Talks. It's like, this is kind of a big deal for me. It's like, this has the potential to be a cool thing for the website, for the brand. You know, they've got the camera and you're mic'd up and the red circular carpet, and it's like, oh my gosh, deep breaths. So what I did to prep, so they assigned me a speaker coach, which was awesome, unexpected and awesome and free. And so we kind of went back and forth a bunch of times on different draft versions and like delivery and, oh, do you want to move this here? What do you think about this ending versus this ending? So that was really cool. And then it was just practice. Every dog walk, every drive, so it was a strict podcast diet for the month leading up to the thing, and just rehearsing it in my head or out loud, you know, under my breath while walking the dog and stuff like that.
So just nonstop prepping for a month, and you were able to walk up there and knock it out of the park then, huh?
It's pretty vulnerable, because then, you know, no note cards, no teleprompter, no nothing. And so it just comes down to like how, and other people are just natural and they'll flow, but I didn't want to risk it. So I like memorized every word or every line.
No, it was great. And I was wondering that too, because I'm like, man, look at him just tackle this here. And I'm like, I wonder if he has a teleprompter he's able to refer to, or if he just, you know, you just rolled with it then.
Yeah, I think in the edited version, there was one stumble at the beginning that I think they did me a favor and kind of added that half second. And of course, it feels way longer when you're up on the stage, right?
Right.
It's probably half a second or a second, and you're like, oh God, everyone thinks I forgot my line.
Can you tell us about it? I know you are doing a free mentorship program now. Can you tell us a little bit about that?
Sure. So I asked the Side Hustle Nation listeners and readers, you know, what project should I tackle next? What would be the most compelling thing? What would help you the most? And one of the most popular responses was some sort of public coaching, like, you know, pick me. We want to see one of us, you know, build a side hustle, you know, either from scratch or take it to the next level from what you've already started. And I said, oh, okay, I've never done anything like that before, but I'll give it a shot. And I've got obviously a vested interest in seeing that person succeed, since my reputation is kind of on the line with the goal to sell some more, you know, coaching and mentorships from that. If you want to learn more about it, it's sidehustlenation.com/apply. And there's a little 2-minute video that talks a little bit about what it's all about.
Awesome. Now, are you going to be open to teaching all types of side hustles? Are you going to, you looking for like 10 different strategies maybe to launch here? Or?
It'll be dependent on what the, you know, what the skills and interests of the people that get selected to bring to the table.
Okay. And then how many people are you looking for in this?
Well, I said one, but if there are several who are, you know, who would be too good to pass up, then I think that would be cool. Because the idea would be to kind of create like a serial style, you know, podcast offshoot or a special series within the Side Hustle show of, you know, following this story or stories over the course of the year, from like idea, like, okay, what are you going to do next? Accountability and have everybody follow along with it. So we'll see what happens there. Deadline coming up, deadline on the 9th. So midnight Pacific on the 9th.
All right. Yeah, I'm excited as well, because I'm sure there's applicants just beating on your door with all types of ideas already. So this will be interesting to see what comes this year of this.
Ooh, I'm looking forward to it. I think it'll be fun.
Now, I love interviewing entrepreneurs and real estate investors, and I think we all have a history of attending seminars, good and bad. Can you share with me maybe the ugly seminar experience you had before?
I've been to a few. I used to get the, and now I'm very skeptical of all this stuff. I used to get the mailers like, oh, you've been invited to a special event. Oh, really? Well, that's cool. Or you've been given a free ticket to this event. Bring a friend. It's like, I am falling for it. Hook, line, and sinker, right? The worst one in recent memory was actually at New Media Expo in Las Vegas last year. This is like a blogger, podcaster kind of conference. And this guy had, he was like the platinum sponsor of the show. So I don't know how much that costs. And I believe included in that package must be you get to give a keynote presentation. So he viewed this as a perfect opportunity to like pitch his program or his, you know, his like 8 DVD set of how to transform your life and take control of your dreams and all this stuff. And it was, you know, he was like a Vegas hypnotist. He was a very polished public speaker, very professional. Like he had people up there like swallowing fire on the stage. You can do it. Believe you can do it. I'm going to show you how to do it. And because this is like the most skeptical audience in the world, right? Like they're all marketers. They're all salesmen. And we're just kind of sitting there and like, I'm like going through like the live tweet stream of this, like, oh my God, is this guy for real? But it was so, you couldn't take your eyes away. It was one of those things. But then people got up and bought his thing. It was really, really surprising to see at the end of the thing that he actually had made some sales. I don't know if he made back his platinum sponsorship investment, but looked like he was doing some business there.
Do you remember what his pitch was, the price tag on it?
I want to say it was a couple grand.
Wow. And people were running to the back, hypnotized by the greatness.
I guess. I don't know. I'm so bad at this stuff. So cheap, so skeptical. I don't know.
No, I'm with you. So we're into 2015 now. You shared with us your free mentorship. You spoke on stage at a TEDx. What are some other goals you're working on this year?
The goals for this year kind of align neatly in a 10,000 metric, if that makes sense. So starting at the top of that funnel or the base of that funnel is 10,000 active subscribers. And so I'm counting email subscribers who've like opened a message in the past month, I think was the metric that I chose for that. I was going to say I'm about halfway there, but I'm not quite halfway there, depending on which measure of active you look at. Going down the line is like 1,000 true fans. So you know the 1,000 true fans theory?
No, please share that.
It says, this is like an internet essay from a few years ago where he says, to make a decent living as an artist, you really don't need mass acceptance, mass exposure, mass media. You really only need 1,000 true fans who are willing to spend $100 a year with you. And that's a six-figure income. Now, I'm not counting on that income yet, I would love to have it, right? But I'm not banking that or not using that as the measurement. So this one is a little bit trickier to measure, but like I'm looking for people who are, you know, sharing my stuff, commenting on my stuff, like being an advocate, being a supporter, being a vocal member of the Side Hustle community. So that's kind of what I'm looking for on the Side Hustle fans. And then continuing up that ladder would be 100 customers in different side hustles. You know, that could be, you know, coaching customers or you know, mastermind customers or stuff, but also could be customers in terms of, you know, whatever other side hustle I come up with for the course of the year to do that. And I forget which dollar amount I put on that, like $50 or $100. Like at that level, you're considered a customer in my master database evil plan. and that's not to discount, like, because I'll sell books, you know, on Amazon for $2.99. And it's not to discount the value of that customer, but just, you know, not counting towards that number in this case.
No, I hear you. And speaking of your coaching and your mastermind groups, can you talk about that a little bit so we get an idea of what value is brought?
Sure. So the most popular offering to date has been the mastermind. So weekly session, 4, 5, 6 other side hustlers and me doing kind of a round table. What you got done? What are you working on this week? What could you use some feedback and support on? What are you struggling with? And, you know, what are your top priorities so we can hold you accountable? And that's been, so I've been doing that for about a year, and it started out like I was very new to the world of masterminds, and there was a light bulb moment in kind of seeing the value of accountability for somebody who's like a solo entrepreneur, right? And like to prioritize tasks, like to have a written record of what I said I was going to do by such and such a date was really motivating for me. So come Sunday night, we would meet on Monday. So come Sunday night, whoa, what did I tell those guys I was going to get done? Oh crap, I better go do that.
It's like being in school again.
It was, and that was really helpful for me, because I kind of struggle with the grass is always greener, right? Like when you're your own boss, there's nobody to tell me what to do. I make all the rules. But on the flip side, there's nobody to tell you what to do, and you have to make all your own rules. So it's like having that group accountability and support has been really, really valuable.
That's great. What type of people, you know, it's all side hustles. Is it people from all different industries as far as like affiliate marketing, eBay, Amazon, FBA, for example, stuff like that? Or
it has been primarily online. It's been focused a lot of like, what kind of service can I sell online? What kind of, actually a lot of authority site builders, but also some, you know, podcast people, some Kindle publishing people, some, really all sorts of different things. Trying to like app developers. If you're a part-time entrepreneur, that kind of diversity of experience where everybody can kind of bring their own input to the table has been pretty cool.
Very cool. So can you share with us, I like to get marketing tips out of people from every industry. Can you share with us your top free marketing tip?
The best marketing tip for me, or the most effective marketing thing, has by far been the podcast. So I don't know. I wish I had better, like tactics of how to get your podcast,
to the top. Let's get into that. Yeah. I mean, how do you start and grow a podcast then?
So the benefit of podcasting versus blogging, right, is it's much less crowded medium, because it's that next level of effort, that next level of involvement that the average Joe isn't going to do. And you have an unfair advantage in iTunes in that they go out of their way to feature new podcasts, even above their top rated shows or their most popular shows, is the new and noteworthy section. So they're going to give you 2 months of, you know, free exposure if you can take advantage of that. And so the way to go about that, so the trend is towards shorter form content. So like when I started, it was a weekly, a weekly show for half an hour. That probably wouldn't fly today, or what would be a better strategy would be to break up that one interview into five episodes or 3 episodes, right? So because part of the algorithm is the raw number of downloads, right? And so if you have five episodes a week or 3 episodes a week, you have significantly more chances to develop those downloads than just having one show a week. And so I would rack up, you know, 5 or 10 of those episodes at launch, and then just email every single person, you know. So I went through my Gmail contacts, like A, 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 B. A, just hey, I just started this podcast. You don't have to listen to it, but every download helps me out in iTunes. Check it out here. By the way, if you want to leave a review, that would be awesome too. And, you know, see, people are like, at least somewhat interested in what you're doing, because they know you. So you can go through your Facebook list, you can go through your LinkedIn list. I would caution against doing like mass mailings, because that's people can kind of tell and they're unlikely to take action. But if you can send a personal note, people are like, okay, fine, I'll download this thing.
Well, speaking of reviews and downloads, which is more important? Are they both equally important in there?
I think downloads probably more so, because as a podcast consumer, I would probably never look at the reviews. I don't know. I think the reviews are like a important part of the algorithm, especially kind of like a velocity based thing. Like if you can dump a bunch of reviews all in during a short period of time, I think that's going to send the signal like, hey, this is somebody worth paying attention to. But, you know, from the user perspective, I'm like, I don't really care. I don't know if it's like, if it's a compelling show. Yeah. It's social proof, right?
So
it's
right.
Like, you know, if you have, you know, a handful, I mean, if you have double digits, you're probably in good shape.
Nice. If a newbie was to approach you today to about starting a new side hustle, what's some of your top tips you could share with them to start taking action today?
So this was presented to me recently on the show, and I thought this was pretty smart. And so three main ways to make money online, you know, you could sell advertising, affiliate stuff, or display advertising or whatever. And generally takes a ton of traffic to make that worthwhile, to make that interesting. You could sell some product, you know, a book, a course, a software product, which is fantastic. And that's like the passive income dream, right? You could, you know, build something once and sell it over and over again, which is something that I've done with books and with courses. But it takes some time to build that, right? And it takes, in a lot of cases, it takes the time to build up an audience to sell that to, unless you hit the market or hit the marketplace, right? The third thing, and this is the argument that the guy made, this is the fastest way to get started, is to just sell some service. Like, you don't need a website. You don't need to create a product. You just need to go find some skill that you have and find a customer who is willing to pay for that skill. And you can go one step further and kind of look down your resume database or your resume history and say, like, you know, these are the jobs that I've had. By definition, these are skills that somebody thought was worth paying for. And so could I find somebody else out there who needs the same skill, maybe on a contract basis or on a even bonus points if you can get it on a, like a recurring monthly basis.
Nice. And what episode was that on? Because I actually listened to that too, and I thought it was a great interview there.
This was with Brian Harris. Let me see if I can find the number for you. Super, super smart dude. This was episode 87, Side Hustle Show, or sidehustlenation.com/87.
Great episode. Everybody get over there and check that one out. Now, Nick, where can the listeners connect with you at?
The best spot is sidehustlenation.com/ideas for a constantly updated list of, you know, part-time business ideas, and also through the podcast. So if you just search Side Hustle or Side Hustle Show, you find it in iTunes or Stitcher or wherever fine podcasts are sold, where we tackle a different business idea every week.
Awesome. Nick, thank you so much for your time. Thank you for doing the show.
You bet, man. Anytime.
All right, everybody. Thanks for listening in today. For more tips on real estate investing and creating streams of passive income, stop by michaelalder.com or connect with me on Twitter at michaelalder34, or you can find me on Facebook. All right, everybody. Thanks, and let's take action today.